Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Seller Talk. Today, we have a special guest, Samuel. I prefer to call him Sam, who is not only a former coworker, but also a dear friend. Sam is a transgender man whose perspective and way of explaining things have had a profound impact on me. His insights have always been thought-provoking and eye-opening to me, and I have an immense respect for him. In this episode, Sam will share his journey with us, and we'll delve into his experiences and perspectives. Coming from a conservative background myself, where topics like being gay and transgender are rarely discussed openly, I believe it's essential to provide a platform for voices like Samuel. He will help educate and bring awareness to those from a similar background as I am, and emphasizing the importance of respect and understanding for the LGBTQ plus community. Sam, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I am fantastic now. It's so good to see you. So I just have to say that you recently moved from Maryland to Illinois, Chicago.
I did. Oh, I'm loving it. It's such a great city. Everything I feel like everyone says about it is actually true when you're here.
Okay. And how different is it from Maryland?
Oh my gosh, it's very different. Definitely a more very diverse city, so you're seeing everyone, every race and every color and every religion. And it's just so nice to know that like there's that community here.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can kind of see everyone's backgrounds and ethnicities and religions. And it's very refreshing knowing that, like, especially coming from the South or like Maryland, like East Coast side, like it's very like refreshing knowing that there's more out there and you can kind of enjoy learning more about people.
Right. And it's just as a melting pot as it is here.
I would say more.
Oh, wow. I've never been to Chicago. I'm going to be honest with you. Like the first time I've traveled across the country actually was to like a month ago, I think, to the West Coast. It was my first time to the West Coast. But
That's right, it was.
Yeah, but Chicago is definitely in my bucket list. I so want to do it. Like, of course, everyone talks about the Windy City. Is that?
Windy City.
Yeah, Windy City. Okay. And of course, we watch on HGTV. I've been watching everything about Chicago and how they're flipping houses and they're all like $2 million and they're beautiful and it's just a beautiful city. But the food, of course, is just insanely amazing, great looking pizzas. And there's a canal in the middle of the city where you can do tours and everything. I still want to discover it. So, Samuel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes. Hi, I'm Sam. I met Nofal from work, Trader Joe's. Love it. Absolutely. I am originally from the South. I originally grew up in Southeast Georgia. I was about 30 minutes north of Jacksonville, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then did my fair share of moving around, and I finally kind of started making roots here in Chicago, and just excited to be here and to see kind of what Chicago has for me.
Oh, yeah, and we are all excited for you. Like seeing you leave and was, of course, because you wanted it. We were happy for you, but there was a sad part of it. We wanted to keep you with us. We were a little selfish about it.
And it's funny because, like, that was, like, the day before my last day in that store was rough. I remember going to bed that night, and I was like, how am I going to do this? Like, because that store was my second store. And that was, like, that store became, like, family to me because I went through mate training, of course. So I got to know, like, all the crews. So then I established relationships with a lot of them, just being good friends and, like, and then I remember that last day, like saying goodbye, that was definitely one of the hardest things I've ever done between crew and mates. That it really tore me apart. So like knowing that like I'm not sure the next time I'm going to see everyone again. That's just, that's hard, like kind of leaving a part of me behind, knowing that I made these such great friendships and bonds with these people. But I'm so thankful. Like, that place really just made me realize, like, the workplace can be a good place to be. And very enjoyable. And of course, like, not everyone's going to be your friend at the store, but like, that group of people are like some of the greatest people I've ever met.
Right. It's a great place.
And it's, and like, even still, like now, I've been away for like a little over a month, like still every day I walk into my new store, and I love my new store, but like, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's different.
So it's still definitely a struggle.
Totally different. And yeah. I wanted to talk to you because we always just talked about like mostly about work and little things here and there, but not really about personal things. Do you have any hobbies that you want to share with us?
You know, I've actually really enjoyed, I really like being outside. It really doesn't matter what I'm doing. So anything from going on walks to exercising to, I love being anywhere near water. Luckily there's Lake Michigan here, so it's a really quick little ride down the street. We can be at the beach in no time.
Oh my God.
That's nice. Love hiking, fishing, just all that outdoor stuff. And then I actually usually use like outdoor activities as a mental health, like allowing myself just to get outside and kind of break away from the world. Like there's times I just like don't look at my phone and I just go outside. And it's just like, I think that's something people just don't do a lot of anymore because of technology these days. It's just so, people are so wrapped up in being online all the time. And it's just being outside is definitely one of those things where I have to have it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, same here. I mean, I understand. I love the outdoors, especially when it's beautiful outside with low humidity. I wanted to ask you about the humidity in there. Is it like as awful as it is here?
Yeah.
it's
hot.
At home.
We had a day last week where we're going through the Midwest goes through like the weirdest climate changes. So like there was a day last week, our high was 64.
Oh, wow.
Sunny, gorgeous.
Perfect.
And then like 2 days later, it was like a high of 85. And everyone is sweating to death outside. So very, very different from Maryland or the South even.
Yeah. I feel like here in Maryland, at least, because I can speak up about Maryland, there is absolutely, there's either absent or little spring that we get. Like 70, like we get like a week sometimes or 2 weeks the most. And then it's just super blazing hot. Today's a 90 degree day with like high humidity. It's just crazy. People are dying here.
I imagine, because like there was times I would go to DC just to go and like explore the city. It's like 90 degrees out. And and you want to enjoy it, like go to all the museums and stuff. But like you just can't enjoy it because you're just sweating so much.
Of course, of course. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. I want to talk a little bit about your, like, how you grew up and where did it all start and where were you born and where your roots are. And I'm interested to hear about that.
Sure. I was born into a Navy family. So I'm the baby of five kids. So I was actually born in Tampa, Florida. We lived there for a little bit. A lot of the moves we did when I was a kid, I was really too young to remember a lot of it. So like we lived in Tampa, Florida for a little while. And then we lived in Charleston and Mount Pleasant, South Carolina for a little bit. And then my dad's last station before retiring from the Navy after 20 years was near Jacksonville, Florida. So we actually had family down in that area that were recommending like, hey, like Jacksonville is only a 30-minute commute from our town, which was actually on the Florida-Georgia line. So it was in Georgia. So we moved there when I was like four. And I grew up there for 11 years. I grew up there from like pre-K age. And then we moved when I was about eighth grade. I grew up in a very small town in Southeast Georgia, close to Florida. So it was one of those towns where you had multiple elementary schools and then you had two middle schools and then you had one high school. So
everyone goes to the same school.
Everyone. Yes. Everyone goes to the same school. So at some point you like go to school with these kids and then you don't see them at some point. And then you see them like again.
Oh my God. Imagine you do something dumb to that person when you were young and then you grow up and they're all taller than you and stronger and you have to meet them. Yes. Like there's no escaping. Like
there's no escaping at all. especially like we would play, my brothers and I, we grew up playing rec league sports, and there was times where we had to play kids that we never went to school with.
Uh-huh.
And they were always like competitors to us. And then you meet them again in high school and it's like
not fun.
Either you become friends or you just kind of still hold on to that stuff.
I know.
You were like,
I changed
in the fifth grade. I promise I changed.
I'm not the same person, trust me. Now,
right.
Yeah, that, okay. So it's very, like, everyone knows everyone in that place.
Everyone knows everyone. And, like, your big thing was high school football on Friday nights where everyone went. So everyone's going to these high school football games. And I lived in a town where our high school football team was actually, like, one of the top-ranked teams in the country. So, like, everyone was going to these games.
Wow.
And you saw everyone. So even in a small town, if you're trying to avoid someone, you can't, because you're going to run
into them. You're stuck with them.
At the local football games or some kind of
literally,
restaurant.
Literally,
like, yeah. You cannot avoid them.
Mm.
And then when I was 13, we moved to a town about 30 minutes south of Atlanta. So that was my first time being closer to, like, a bigger city.
Okay.
So that was cool, a little bit different from living down in more the southern state of Georgia. So yeah, we lived there, and then we got to a point where we just felt like being drawn towards back home down south.
Okay.
So in 2017, my parents made the decision to move back to Florida.
Okay.
And so yeah, we and I just went back to my roots and lived with my parents for a couple of years, and so yeah, and then that's when I moved to Florida, I was kind of ready just to be on my own somehow. So
okay.
Like, I had visited New York for a long time, and I ended up falling in love with it. So I had a way with my brother to actually move to New Jersey for a year.
Okay.
So I did that.
Oh, wow. That's bold. Like, just out of, like, coming from Florida. So since you grew up here and you went to New York, how was your first visit to New York? Coming just from, like, this, you're in the same country. It's going to be different from me because I, coming from Casablanca, Morocco, to here, it's totally different. Now, you growing up here, did you have any culture shock?
Very.
Okay.
So growing up from a young age, I actually was raised in the church. So like,
oh, okay.
I grew up very conservative. So there was a point where like once I started getting a little older, I kind of was breaking away from that. So being so used to like a small town, church driven southern town, it was very, very different to go to New York and see like very diverse cultures and like religions and like people that are just clearly very different from what I was used to growing up. I remember getting off the plane and like seeing the skyscrapers. It was just nuts. And I was like,
you're not used to it.
Where am I?
Yeah. And there are people from everywhere. Literally, like, you can find every ethnicity in New York. It's amazing.
Insane, because even like all the neighborhoods, like you can go to certain neighborhoods and there's like this group of this community, this community.
That's
so
true.
Because you can go from like one neighborhood to the next and it's just completely different.
You have an Italian quarter and you have a French quarter. You have there are like people from everywhere. If you go to Washington Heights in Manhattan, you get like all I will say islands, like from the Caribbeans. Like you have Dominican Republic. You have people from. Mm-hmm. And they're all represented by areas in New York, and which makes actually that city amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things too, where like if you're not like used to that big city setting, and like the scariest thing was going to Times Square.
Uh-huh.
If you are not used to like hustle and bustle and you go to Times Square or like those busy streets of New York, like 6th Ave, 5th Ave, like you're going to lose your mind because you're like, there's so many people, there's so many sounds, like there's just so much going on.
So many cars, so many people honking. It's a city. It's a crazy city.
Too much honking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're not used to that, like it really throws you off because you're like, oh my God. So like after a day of visiting, you're like so thrown off. You're like, where am I? Like, this is so crazy.
Cause right.
like, it's kind of hard. Cause like, I feel like a lot of the people I grew up with, like, I hate to say it, like they choose not to involve themselves in like travel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when even on TV, when they see these things happening, like they see like New York, Chicago, LA, it's like so foreign to them.
Right. That's what I was trying actually to ask. Like, is it like as if it's a different country? Literally, like almost, you would say?
Yeah. Cause I have friends that are like straight up, like I refuse to go to bigger cities because I'm afraid of like a culture shock, or it's too busy. It's too noisy.
Crowded. Yeah. Mm.
It's too crowded, but like I feel like embracing travel and like kind of getting myself to explore those bigger cities, because I've been to New York, I've been to Chicago, I've been to LA, I've been to Seattle. Like, it's such an eye-opening experience because yeah, you're in your country, but you get to see that like not everything that you grew up with
mm-hmm.
is that.
Mm-hmm.
There's different things out there, and I just it's really hard to know that like people refuse to get out and kind of like explore outside of their norm.
Yeah, yeah. And you did it the right way because you completely moved to New Jersey.
Right.
So how long you spent in New Jersey?
I spent a year,
mm-hmm.
Which is wild. I spent a year and I was willing to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So my background is actually in hospitality.
Okay. I can so see that. Okay. I can so see that.
I worked in hotels for years.
Mm-hmm.
I started out working like banquets and like conference setups, where it's like heavy duty, like table lifting and chairs and stages.
Mm, that's heavy.
But even
it's a lot of work.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was rough. But then I moved to Florida with my parents, and I ended up getting a job with the Omni Hotels Company.
Okay.
And worked there for years. And one of my old bosses, like he was one of my managers, and then reached out to me on LinkedIn one day and wanted to recruit me to go out to a job. He was working in Big Sky, Montana, of all places.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. You said that.
So when he reached out to me, I knew what it was and I knew what he was asking me. So, eventually, I agreed. He wanted me out there full time and I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm willing to go out there temporarily to see if I like it. And he was like, yeah, if you like it, you can stay for another season. So I was like, great. So I ended up getting burned out from New Jersey, from my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I straight up was like, I'll just do it. There's no commitment. Like, so if I want to go and work winter and then stay summer, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I did that. So I ended up leaving New Jersey and moving to Bozeman, Montana, of all places.
Of all places. But I have to say, Montana is beautiful. Montana is gorgeous.
Insanely gorgeous.
Yeah, with the glaciers around you, wherever you look.
Mm-hmm. That is one place I will tell people, if you ever want to travel and like go somewhere different, Bozeman, Montana is one of the, it's like a very small town, but it's one of the coolest places you will ever go to. Food is great.
Totally agree.
Everyone is so nice. There's mountains everywhere. And you're only like 2 hours from Yellowstone. So like if you really want to have that checked off your bucket list, it's seriously, it's one of the most gorgeous places you will ever experience in your life.
We were further north in Montana. We went to Polson. We stayed in Flathead Reservation. It was, mm-hmm. to me, it was unexpected, because what do you hear about Montana? Nothing.
Right.
Other than, but the moment you go there, the moment you see what's around you, the nature, It is unbelievably amazing. It's a beautiful horizon, and it's worth every, it's worth actually going there and taking your time and staying there for a long time. Do not do a two-day trip to Montana. Stay for longer, because it'll clean your heart. It is beautiful.
It's so, like, soul-soothing.
Absolutely.
Even, like, in the snow, like, you watch, like, the snow falling in the mountains, it's just so peaceful.
Gorgeous.
But summer there was incredible.
How so?
Everyone's hiking, everyone's biking, everyone's out doing, like, everyone's fishing, everyone's just out doing something. But, like, it really kind of makes a trip where you, like, want to put your phone away, you want to put your laptop away, and you just want to go and embrace the mountains and the trees and the just the animals. Like, it's just beautiful.
Yeah. So you spent how long you spent there? A year or two?
I was there a little less than a year. So I worked a winter season from January to April. Was able to take the month of May off, and then was able to return for the summer season, which was from May to September.
Okay. That's nice. Yeah. I'm jealous. I wish I can actually have the same opportunity. I'll go right now.
I would go right now too.
Yeah. We stopped by Idaho. We went to Coeur d'Alene because we're opening a new store in Coeur d'Alene, and I was we were hoping we're gonna like it. We actually adored it. We loved it, and now I don't know if we're gonna go. Then we went to Montana, and we're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Then I met someone actually who owns 1.6 million acres. I did not even know that can exist. I did not even know that. It's insane. But then, like when I talked to the person, he was like, well, I own 1.6 million, but there's not much you can do with it. Yeah.
Right.
It's like rocky and mountains and this, that, and the other. But what can you do with it? Not much. I was like, can I just have it? Like a half acre. Just a little tiny bit. What is half an acre and 1.6 million? Nothing. Just give me the tip of that mountain. That's all I want.
Give me something.
That's all I want. So after Montana, what happened?
So after Montana, so this was a kind of a fate thing. So a month after moving to Montana, I got curious and like turned my dating apps on. I was like, whatever, like I'll just see what's happening, who's around. And I actually I don't remember if you met Tara or not. Did you last time I brought her into the store?
I talked to her. Talking to her, and I just stepped in as I usually do, like, hello, how are you? Like, just, but not much.
So a lot of people that I work with, and NoFal of course, are aware. I met my girlfriend Tara in Montana through a dating app. Met her through Hinge. So if anyone needs a good dating app, Hinge was a winner for the both of us. So we ended up matching a month later after I got to Bozeman. Mm-hmm. And from the get-go, she was very open with being like, hey, like, I'd really like to get to know you, but like, I don't live here. My sister does. So I'm out here quite often. So if I'm ever out here, I'd love to hang out with you and stuff. Well, that led to us wanting to hang out all the time. Mm-hmm. We just became inseparable. So like after my days of working at Yellowstone Club in Big Sky, I would commute home and we would literally FaceTime the whole night I got home. There's not been a day since then that we have not spoken.
That's amazing.
And so now here we are, 2 years later, we're still together. And we decided on Chicago as our move-in together place. And she recently just got a job, and she will be here full-time with me officially a week from today.
That's amazing. Oh, so you went there before so you can actually set up everything, get everything situated before she can actually move. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Good.
Right.
That's smart. Because if you guys move together, because I thought she was from Chicago. So if you move together at the same time to the same city, I mean, it might be a little hectic, but it's much easier now. Yeah. A week.
Yeah. A week from today. Yeah.
Exciting. That's amazing.
So exciting.
Yeah. A long time. It's been a long time coming. Yeah. I'm sure that you've been looking for this moment for a long, long time. For 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years. We've been through a lot. And she has a really good job right now. She has a mm-hmm. really good government job at a veteran's home. She's a recreational therapist, so she loves what she does. But she just waited for the right time to leave and then take on a new job. She wanted to make sure everything was lined up for her. She did it very, very well. So mm-hmm. next week will be the real deal. We're excited. And we're just beyond ready to close this distance. It's been a very long but good 2 years.
Yeah, long process, but it'll actually, I think, because it was like this, it'll bring you more together, because you're not gonna take any moment for granted. The moments that you've spent just wishing she was there next to you, now she's gonna be full time next to you.
Right.
That's it's amazing.
It's nice having the distance, because it has allowed us to kind of work on ourselves, but also do it together.
Yeah, in game maturity. So
So I really feel like the both of us, together have really matured, but separately as people
mm-hmm.
have really matured, because we haven't been on top of each other and been in stressful situations with each other, but we've allowed ourselves to grow together, but as individuals. So mm-hmm. now that we're moving in together, we kind of feel especially after all the trips we've made to spend time with each other through the distance and everything, it's really allowed us to kind of get to know each other more and what we like, what we don't like our attitudes towards each other and our routines. So we're really excited. We feel like it's the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is the right time. The moment you decide it, it is the right time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to build a home there. And I would love to one day visit you and visit Tara so we can, and you can meet Christina. She's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
No filters
really nice
though.
From what I've seen.
She's got no filters. She's funny.
I don't think we do either.
Oh, good. Good. No, but she's in the funny way. No filters in the funny way. She's a strong woman. She's from Croatia. And if you don't know about... There's one thing about Croatians that I didn't know before I married her is that they are born with a microphone. They're loud.
They're loud.
they're very loud. Tomorrow we're having a party where now Croatia is playing in the European League, and they're playing against Spain. I'm gonna have about 20 people, 20 Croatians. So I already talked to my neighbors. I'm like, okay, guys,
watch yourselves.
don't worry. No one is fighting. No, I'm just kidding. But it's the best. The one thing that I want to do is actually if you guys can meet her and share some time with her, because I talked to you about talked to her about you, and I told her about how I've been looking forward to this, and I think we talked about that right before you were leaving, and I'm like, I would love to have you with me and to just explain to the people like me with my background how because so many people think that is crazy or something, and it is not. It is a complete, because if I talk to you, Sam, you're normal. You're a normal person. You're not crazy. So they are wrong because of the perception that they have. And it's so sad. It's so sad that they will have that perception without even actually educating themselves.
Right.
I think, and that's why, to me, I want to use this platform so I can show everyone how this person is normal. It's just they're as normal as you are.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So growing up and move into New York, move into New Jersey, move into Montana, moving here, meeting Tara. Mm-hmm. How did you what was your philosophy leading going to this, just going out, going to the world, after your trip to New York, you wanted to discover a lot more than what you had back home?
Yeah, I did. So I ended up going back. This is when I was still living in Atlanta. So I went back to Atlanta. So definitely I was still immersed in a lot of the Southern conservative culture. because a lot of my friends back home are very on the religious side. They're very conservative, have a lot of conservative thoughts. And so after making that trip to New Jersey and New York, and then like making, I kept going back actually. It really changed my thought on how I viewed people, where it was at a point where I'm like, a lot of people in the Southern like culture, like anywhere that's like the Bible Belt. You've heard of the Bible Belt.
I've heard of it. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. So Bible Belt will be anywhere from like, it's like Texas to like the Carolinas, Georgia, Florida, Alabama.
Yeah, very conservative.
A lot of people down there just live by the Bible and everything the Bible says. And I was raised to have those thoughts. So like making trips to like to New York and New Jersey, and I was going to LA, like really opened my eyes to understand that like what I was taught as a kid, like there's so much more out there than what we were taught. And it's a weird concept because I was always around people and like raised by people that had huge hearts and they always really cared about people, but what they thought about people other than, and I really hate to say it, like cisgender white people, that like anything outside of that was pretty much wrong. Like, and of course we were involved a lot with like, my parents raised me to really not believe in like any race being different than I. So like we were always raised to believe like that was never a problem. Like if you ever encountered anyone that was Hispanic or African American, that was never a problem. Like embrace them. They're people too. So luckily I was never in environments that were like that.
Good.
Of course I had a couple people I knew that were definitely
I'm sure that every single person, we always we will always have someone in our circle, either a friend, family, or anybody that you will meet at some point that has certain thoughts that goes against your beliefs.
So like after years, there was a trip. This is like even before like I realized I was like coming out. Like those trips to those bigger cities made me realize that like, wow, there's a lot of diversity out there. Like I was never exposed to that. Like I was never really exposed to people speaking foreign languages. I was never exposed to even food. Like I was never exposed to like different cultures up there, like food and like I said, language and religion. So like it made more sense to me seeing all that happening in bigger cities, because to me it made me seem like that's normal. Everyone out there is allowed to express what they want. They're allowed to have religion and they're allowed to like express like their culture. And it's one of those things where like, to me, it's one of the most beautiful things you can witness is like, not everything that you grew up with is like that. Like I was raised in like church where it was mostly white people. And I grew up in a town where it was mostly white people. And, I kind of at points was raised to believe that sometimes other cultures were like a big no-no, like just don't, that's not okay to like have this religion.
We don't mix we can't be in the same spot or in the same place as other people.
Like I was raised to believe that like Christianity was the only religion. And like, we studied other religions in school, but like the one primary one that they would always teach you about in school was Christianity, and it's like that deep South Christian Southern Baptist, Southern Methodist Christianity. So I'm really thankful for the fact that I allowed myself to travel, even if it was just within the States, just to experience that like there's so many different cultures out there and there's so many different people out there, and we're all more similar than what people think.
Yes, the moment you get out of that shell and that little town where everyone is telling you and watching your moves and knowing your family and your entire background, the moment you move from there, you realize how like different. It can be difficult sometimes for certain people because they're not used to it. But then there are the people that embrace that And then they, it's a gain. It's just all a win. It's all bonus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I understand happened. The moment you walked out, you've realized how, like, oh my God, I can be me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I can do. And the thing that I love about the Northeast, I'll say, or New York, for example, when you go there, you can be whoever you want. You're still going to take the metro. You're still going to share the same areas as everyone else. And you, no one's going to really care about your personal life. You can be you. You don't have to change for anyone. You don't have to lie about your identity and who you feel you are.
And that was a big part when I like kind of started understanding who I was and like the fact that I originally came out as a lesbian. So like those cities made me like, I was like wanting to go back because I was like, it's a shame that like I have to travel to one of these bigger cities to actually feel like myself. Like I can walk down the street and like be okay with having short hair and wearing more male presenting clothes. Like no one cares. Like you go up there, no one cares. Like as long as you're not hurting someone or you're not being rude or any, literally no one cares at all.
Yeah.
So I was like seeking traveling to those bigger cities for years. Like I found myself just when I lived in the South, always wanting to escape because there was parts of me I was hiding because I grew up very religious. So like there was parts of me I was hiding. And it was only until I traveled to go see family in these bigger cities where I was finally like, I can be myself. Like I can finally take a deep breath. I can wear whatever I want. I can do whatever I want without family questioning me or like friends of mine on the conservative side that are like, oh, what are you doing? Like, what is this? This isn't like you. And it was just really sad that that's kind of what it took for me to be myself.
Yeah, it's funny how like that isn't like you. Well, how, do you know who I am exactly? I don't think you know who I am. If you're interested enough, you would actually ask me. You wouldn't build that opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And were you nervous when you were ready to come out?
I was shitting myself. Like, I was literally shitting myself. So I grew up with, I have the most loving, caring parents in the world, but we did live in a house where like seeing like pride wear and like rainbows and God forbid you see a same sex couple walking down the street, holding hands. That was always a big no-no in our house. Like, we would always hear, oh, that's just, that's gross. Or that's, ew, why is this, that's not acceptable. Like, like it's just not what like God intended to happen. So like, I always heard like hearing these like gay couples or like a lesbian couple walking down the street that that was disgusting.
Unfortunately.
And one of the big instances I had was my grandmother, love her, rest in peace. She, one of the first experiences I had with understanding what being gay was I had a cousin of mine that came out as gay. And this is when I was younger and I kind of understood what was going on, but I remember like my grandmother would not have it. She was like, I basically won't accept this. Like, I understand it's my grandchild, but like, this just isn't what God wants. And just, I think it's disgusting. Like, I don't think that what this person is doing is okay at all. So, that was one of the things that kind of hindered me from coming out.
So yeah, you were very nervous. That made you so nervous. So you're afraid to lose the people that you loved.
Yeah. Like
your family.
I was always surrounded by people that were very conservative. So like when I first started having the thoughts of me being gay, I was like, who the hell am I going to tell? Like, like clearly I know what's going on, but like, I'm so scared. So eventually like I was like, I have to say something. Like, I have to tell someone something. So, of course, the people I turned to first were my siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And they all grouped together and said, if anything happens to Sam where he gets disowned by our parents, like, one of us is taking him in. There's no way we're letting him do this by himself.
That's awesome.
So yeah. When I first came out, I was making the decision to, like, after that happened, I was like, all right. I slowly, but like started, I chopped all my hair off, like all off.
Okay.
I stopped wearing makeup. I stopped wearing any kind of like feminine clothing I have. Cause mm-hmm. I knew, cause like, if I would have had my way when I was like 11, 12, 13, I would have been going to school in basketball shorts and Nikes and
understand.
A jersey
yes.
every day.
Of course.
But I just had to do what I had to do, and yeah. I was so uncomfortable for years,
yeah.
Wearing feminine clothes and trying to fit in. And so finally, when the time came, I told my siblings, and there was just some sigh of relief I had that I was like this is it. Like I feel better. Like this is like I'm finally getting accepted for who I know I am in my head. So that's kind of how it started.
That was a great first step. Like when you get the support from the people that are close to you and your siblings, yeah. that's amazing. So you do have enough support to actually boost you and give you that encouragement to go in yes. and now make the big step to come
yes.
out. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then after that, I developed a friend on the internet.
mm-hmm.
Anyone in my age group or younger knows of there's a website called Tumblr.
Okay.
There was a big Tumblr thing back when I was in like high school and like college age.
Okay.
And I had met a friend on that website,
mm-hmm.
and she was from overseas, and we had like Skyped and everything, and she wanted to come over to the States and visit.
Okay.
So at some point, my parents started kind of realizing what was going on.
Uh-huh.
And, like, questioned me on it. So, long story short, I had a panic attack because they were finding out, and I did not want them to know. And I had a panic attack, and I kind of played it to have them take me to the ER because I had no way out. I was like, how am I going to get myself out of this?
Yeah.
So
you wanted to remove yourself from that situation.
Yes.
And not be facing them. You wanted anything that any excuse or, well, the panic attack is real. The panic attack is as real as it can get. But you wanted to remove yourself because you were scared.
So scared.
Mm.
So, because the one thing my mom said was, we were talking and all of a sudden, after all this, she finally goes, what if she's a lesbian? She was like, Sam, you've never met this person in your life. That's when I was like, oh, God, they know something. Like, or what if they're suspecting me of something?
Okay, okay, okay.
So that's when I went into full panic. And I asked them to take me to the ER because I really kind of felt like something was going on.
Mm.
Heart beating out of my chest, very labored breathing. Like, it was hard. So finally, when they go to the ER, and I asked them to leave because I was like, I can't. We only live like 5 minutes from the hospital. I'm like, you guys just go home. I'll call you when like I get discharged. Like, I feel like I need to be here overnight. They're mm-hmm. like, okay. So it ended up being me talking to the nurses about the whole situation where, let me just say, they thought I was going to do something harmful. To myself.
To yourself. Because, yeah. They were afraid that.
But I made it clear I wasn't going to do it. Like that was never, I never had those intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes to having someone they moved me into a room with blinds where they had someone come talk to me saying, was I willing to get mental health help?
Okay.
For a minimum of 72 hours. I was out of my mind at that point. So I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, So then the next morning, I'm getting told I'm getting transported by ambulance to a mental health facility.
Oh, wow. You did not think that, you thought that just like a therapist will come to your room and you can...
No, right.
That...
Have a little chit chat and what? Send me home. And yeah. Maybe just tell me, go see a therapist. Like, go talk this out with someone. No, they went full extreme on me and I got sent to a mental health facility for 72 hours.
Hmm.
I was not allowed to leave. So the day I got there, my brother found out and he ended up calling me and he goes, hey, like, what's up? Like, how are you feeling? Like, he was genuinely concerned and I explained everything to him and he goes, well, just so you know, I had a conversation with mom and dad and they questioned if you were gay. And I was like, oh, and like, what did you say? And he was like, well, they said, well, we think Sam might be a lesbian. And my brother was like, hey, I like hate to tell you this, but Sam doesn't think like he knows, like this isn't a surprise. Like this is something he's known about. Uh-huh. So yeah, then my parents had visitation rights the next day and it was just a nightmare. My mom was crying the whole time. My dad literally could not say a word. He couldn't look me in the face. Like both of them would not look me in the face. It was rough. I got discharged 2 days later and was with the counselor at the facility. We had just a family meeting before I left and was like, hey, we're just in a situation right now. He's like, I don't know what the situation is. I don't even want to know what it is. It's not my business. But like, you guys just seem like you need to agree to disagree on whatever this is. So The best thing you guys can do is to go home and just act like this never happened. So we did.
Yeah.
So anything I did at that point was me sneaking around and just kind of being someone I wasn't. Like I've always been very like honest with my parents about, hey, I'm at so-and-so's house. Hey, I'll be home by midnight. Like,
right. Yeah.
But I found myself sneaking around and like leaving the house and just kind of being in some weird character. That wasn't me.
Yeah.
Because of this secret.
Yeah.
But it was actually who I really was.
Yeah. And it's eaten you because you're not doing anything wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 It's just like, I wish they can just understand. This is who I am. Like I did not choose. Like I was born and then naturally I've developed who I am today and I'm a straight man. But that doesn't mean that because that person feels that way and grew up the same way I grew up, but they just like, this is who they are. We should not be judging them because of that. We should be judging. Right. I want to judge you, Sam, on who you are and your personality. I don't want to judge you on who you actually hang out with or who you love or who you decide to go on a date with. I can only be happy for you. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that I should. Now, if you're a bad person, you have a bad personality, that I don't want to even hang out with you. I want to actually stay away from you. But again, it has nothing to deal with your sexual orientation.
Right.
Because it's your personality. That's the most important. Yeah. It's your word.
Right.
Are you a nice person or just a weird person? And I do believe that even bad people are good to some people. They're good to someone. You know, even thieves and criminals. There are some people that look at them and say, I love that person. So they're good to them, but because they go against, like if they steal my car, for example, then I see them as thieves. They're bad people to me. So it's, again, but it's because of their personality. They chose that life. They chose to actually take something from me. What are you taking from me? Absolutely nothing. You're just actually interacting with me makes me happy.
Right.
You know? But again, being who you are as a person has nothing to deal with your sexual orientation. And that is very important. Do not label someone just because they're straight, bisexual, transgender, gay, lesbian, etc. No. Everyone is normal in this on earth, and just judge them on their personality. And I think you're amazing.
Thank you. And I think that's a major issue a lot of people have when they associate like people and them being gay. Mm. Like they automatically, like majority of the time, like I would have friends where they're like, oh, this is my friend. Oh, you know, the gay one. Like that's not what they're all. That's not just who they are. Like, so it's really hard to like be like when you're being yourself, but like a lot of people will not, like what you said, like they won't just look at your personality and be like, oh, this is who you are. And clearly you're happy.
Yeah.
Clearly. Like, yeah. You're not harming anyone. You're not doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But like, but still it's, oh, well, you're the trans guy.
Oh.
Oh, well, now so-and-so knew you as this, but now you're the trans guy. You're Sam the trans guy. But like, it's hard because when, over the years, I've met anyone from a lesbian to any gay men to other trans people like me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest things that really kills me is that there are other people out there like me that are, you meet them and they're literally the most normal person you will ever meet in your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that about myself.
Yeah.
Like people, so I'm in a position where like, a lot of people can just hear my voice right now, but like I pass for a man.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't get questioned about if I'm trans or not, or I don't get misgendered. Like, so I do feel very fortunate with that, but
right.
Like, but still I don't really explain myself and like come out to trans to people sometimes because I've been through it to where it's like, and I've seen other people go through it. They're like, oh, you're trans. And then like really throws people off. Because either they want to, like, they find out and they want to start misgendering you.
Mm-hmm.
It's, man, mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, she, I mean, him. And yeah. It's so awkward.
There, yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah.
And that's probably one of the most common things I go through is right. Myself and, like, a lot of my friends that are also trans, either trans men or trans women. They're so afraid to, like, have open conversations about their sexuality and how they are because a lot of people will do the whole pronoun
yeah.
switch up kind of yeah. thing. And it's just like, it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
So honestly, in my opinion, that's why I really don't come out to people if I don't have to.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know in the world, it's just such a struggle.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's what I would love for all of us actually as a society is if we can just normalize it. Mm-hmm. If it becomes normal that everyone, and I think that where we live, it is the percentage is higher for its normalcy than mm-hmm. other areas. For example, where I come from, it is absolute, like the percentage, it can be in the single digits.
Right.
Yeah. I would never probably have met an open transgender, if I stayed in Morocco.
Probably not.
Yeah, because even if you're transgender, you want to travel, probably Morocco will not come to your mind, like, will not be the first destination. I'm sure that like so many people travel to Morocco. I'm sure they had so many really good, like so many of them had great experiences, but I'm sure that it's not the first thought that you will have. And, right. And I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone who is struggling with their gender identity? Like to come out, for example, because now you talked about like that fear and that, you know, being scared, but at some point now it's normal. Everybody knows you. And now you feel, when you look back to it, you feel a lot better about who you are now because this is who you are. If you have any advice, what would it be? Of course, if you feel comfortable with it.
Yeah, probably the biggest takeaway I could get from that is when it comes to trying to be yourself and like trying to like not be so afraid of like presenting yourself as you want to be.
Mm.
The biggest takeaway I've taken from that is you have to surround yourself with people that you know love you unconditionally. Whether it be family members, friends, coworkers, there are people out there that love you unconditionally, and you have to hold on to that. Even if it's like, you don't have to have all the friends in the world. You don't, but like, hold on to those people that truly cherish you and truly love you for who you are, no matter what you go through in life. Because you're probably that person too, where you went through a lot with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of like people I've known since grade school, and that I've been with them too through them having kids and then going through divorces or going through just them coming out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you realize who's there for you and who's not. So my biggest advice is to just hold on to those people that you know truly care about you and cherish you.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, you'll realize that's all you need. It's just to know that there's people out there, even if it's three people, like, I don't know, like, you know that there's people out there that love and accept you for who you are, and they still see you as just the most normal person. Like, you coming out to them did not change a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, okay.
I'm sure that you had some people that when you came out, were like, oh my gosh, finally. Oh, how long would it take you? I thought that I knew about this.
My brothers.
There you go.
My oldest brother.
Like, oh my God.
They were both like, cool. We know.
We knew.
We're glad you know.
Yeah.
So it kind of made sense. But then, like, when I came out as trans, it made even more sense.
Mm.
Where then it was like, well, duh. Like, you have super short hair and you've been wearing basketball shoes your entire life. Like, we kind of felt like there was something there.
It makes
sense. Yeah. So, I even have one of my best friends is actually very, she's still down in Georgia. We've been friends since we were like 13. And, we are so opposite from each other, but we've been there for each other. Okay. So no matter what has come our way, we're still there for each other. Like, when I came out to her as trans, she's very religious and she's very conservative. And she, one day I went to go talk to her. She wanted to have just a very big sit down to understand me.
Mm.
She's like, I understand we're not on the same wavelength, but she was like, I would like to know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
So we had a conversation, and at the end of it, she had a lot of questions, but then she was like, honestly, she was like, so you're telling me this all has happened to you and you're literally still the same person? Well, yeah.
Same thoughts, same human, same personality. Still
and
you.
And then we started joking like we were in middle school and high school. and now that's how she sees it. She's like, yeah, like, you look different, but like,
You're still
literally the same person I've known since we were 13, 14 years
old.
That's the biggest thing I want people to take away, is that, like, if someone comes out to you, they're trusting you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
They're trusting you.
Yeah.
They're not just choosing you randomly. They're like, oh, hey, guess what? I'm gay. Like, they're choosing you because they have so much trust in you, and they know that they love you and that they have been through everything with you. So if they're asking to talk to you, I advise people to listen.
Right.
Let them have their time. Because like I said, they clearly trust you.
Yeah. And it took you so much energy to actually, you've ran that conversation with them so many times in your head before
you went.
Yes. Before you went. And so the trust. Wow, that's powerful. I've never thought about it that way, Sam.
Yeah.
Never thought about it that way. That's powerful.
Because I only really fully engaging conversations with people that I really felt like I trusted and that would listen. I feel like a lot of people that like I'm friends with but like not super close with, I felt like it was one of those things where like I'll tell you eventually, like if I feel like it's something I want to talk to you about.
Hmm.
But like, if someone approaches you and they are willing to open their heart up to like telling you everything that they've gone through with their coming out, it's because they trust you.
Yeah, and they love you.
And they love you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, you wouldn't care about them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then after that conversation with my best friend and I, we literally sat there and just like cracked jokes for like the next hour. Like literally nothing happened. So now she like, she's very like, she will ask me like questions now all the time. And like, she doesn't really question me about like who I am anymore. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like, she's like, clearly, yes, you came out to me as trans, but you're literally the same person. And what bothers me is 100% of the trans people that you meet, same boat as me.
They all say the same thing.
Same thing. Every trans person I've interacted with will tell you literally the same thing I just explained to you.
Yeah. The one thing that I will say that what I like about the LGBTQ plus community is that they stand for each other. There is a community out there. Of course, there's the bad, there's the good, but that applies for any community out there. It's not just the LGBTQ plus. It's everyone. There's the good and the bad. Now, I think part of like succeeding at like coming out as you're explaining it is surrounding yourself by that community too. Talk to people that have done it before. Maybe they can advise you, and I'm sure you're doing it. You're there for the people if they have any questions. Like I have some questions. I'm asking you about it. You're talking to me as like you're telling me everything. You're opening your heart to me, and I'm sure that like so many people are there to help people. To if they feel that they're struggling, because it's not really a struggle. It's just thoughts. Because you run those thoughts over and over and over again in your head, there are so many people there that can help you overcome those thoughts.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's funny you say that, because first of all, I think it's funny that we're doing this during Pride Month.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought about it.
I don't know if you knew that.
I did think about it. Oh, of course I know that.
Yes. But it takes me back to, like my first ever Pride Festival was in New York City. Huge. It's like one of the biggest ones you can go to.
And if that's your first, that's one of the big ones in the United States.
That's like one of the biggest gayest
probably.
So my brother was living in New York at the time, and he decided to tag along and just check it out for a few. So he ended up dropping me off. So he kind of let me go and do my thing, and he kind of stepped back and just watched. It was the parade. He texted me like 20 minutes later, and he goes, I had to leave because I got so emotional, because I felt like there was so much love and acceptance at that parade.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I looked around and just saw so much of everyone just accepting each other and loving each other. He's like, I had to step away because I really got emotional. It was kind of too much, but like in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing I usually recommend. Like if anyone would ever, even if you're an ally, like just, if you ever go to a pride parade, you're going to see that is one of the biggest places where you will see the most accepting and loving people.
Mm.
I tell you what, everyone's like giving out hugs just because a lot of people need it.
Yeah.
And they're offering, the amount of times I've gone to prides and they're offering like support groups for like, hey,
yes,
we don't want you to feel alone. Come join us. Literally, we meet once a week.
Right.
We order pizza and we talk. Like, that's the LGBT community is one of the most amazing and precious things they hold close to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. That's on a different, like different subject. I wish I had that, as an immigrant when I came here, 'cause I couldn't speak a word of English. And I wish actually I had that support group that can sit me down and just have a conversation with me and tell me what to expect. I had to find out everything about myself, and it took me a while before I can actually be very comfortable and have this, for example. But if I had someone actually that sit with me and just explain to me that it's gonna be okay, it's all gonna be okay.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's you. You're here. And this is why we love this country, because we have that openness to those ideas. That's the America we love.
Yes.
And like to be able to accept others and have your freedom You do whatever you want with your life, as long as you're not bothering. Your freedom stops when you're bothering others, when you're touching other people's freedom, you know?
Right.
When you're disturbing that, then it stops. But you, my freedom is to be who I am. It's not going to disturb you in any shape of way. I don't know. So that's what we love about it. It's just open. I'm free.
I'll do whatever I want. One of the opinions I have that will drive a lot of people nuts, especially people on the right side of everything. The biggest argument is you're trying to shove it down our throats.
Yeah.
I can't tell you anyone that I know or anyone I've heard of or walked by someone where they're like going up to like these Christian evangelicalists on the streets preaching, saying, hey, you should try to be gay sometime. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I have never once seen someone try to shove it down someone's throats. But these people on like the right wing are like so convinced that that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if Chicago, for instance, very diverse city, and it's probably one of the gayest cities in the country.
Really?
Yes.
I thought DC was.
Oh my God. I think I saw that Chicago has the third biggest pride in the country.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So you're walking around, and you're seeing all these people. Mm-hmm. But first of all, majority of this city is gay. I'm just going to say it. But I never once see anyone just going up to random people being like, hey, you should be trying being gay sometime.
Yeah.
Or just waving rainbow flags, like just shoving it in people's faces.
Right. Or no, let's make it the other way. So because they're free, they can actually express themselves. Now, if they come with that fighting thought, I'm here because you guys are here, that's provoking. And that, to me, isn't a fair game. Because if you had a right wing or that belief, whatever you believe in, you have a march.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about the LGBTQ+ community come in and then taking a corner and starting waving those flags and this, that, and the other. What would you think? These people are provoking us. These people are not here for peace. These people are using the freedom to disturb this. And that's when, again, when you disturb, when you come with those thoughts of provoking, of creating chaos, of disputing whatever actually your thoughts are, then your freedom stops. That's my belief. My belief is that, like, the moment you touch my freedom, then your freedom is questionable.
The one thing that gets me when you're talking about that is, anytime I've been to a pride parade, there are those people that stand on the signs that hold picket signs that say, you're going to hell.
Hell my.
It's rough. Because
But you have nothing to do. You really have nothing to do other than doing
nothing. That. Standing on the side of a pride parade, just wailing, you need Jesus. You're going to hell. Do you know how hurtful it is to actually a lot of LGBTQ people that still go to church?
Yeah. Well, yeah. There are churches that, active. Yes. Yeah. True.
They're still very active in the church.
They're priests. They're
Yes.
They're.
That they see these people on the side of these pride parades just saying you're going to hell and you're Satan worshipers. But these people that are in the LGBTQ community that are still Christian or still religious, that hurts them.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, excuse me, I'm like just trying to be myself, and you're like, you still think I'm gonna go to hell? Like, that that doesn't sit right with me. Like,
yeah, last time I checked, who decides exactly that, who's gonna go to hell and who's gonna go to heaven?
Exactly.
I think it's God.
Yeah, I think so too.
Are you God? Yeah. No. So who are you? Like, you're just a human being, so you have beliefs and all of that. But at the end of the day, you're not the one who's going to choose who's going to go where.
Yeah.
So let that job to whoever is up there looking after us.
And the biggest thing that any LGBTQ person will say regarding that whole, like, you're going to hell thing, a lot of us were raised in the church.
Right.
Oddly enough. Like, a lot of us did grow up going to church.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just didn't know anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, any person will tell you, one of the things that we learned is that God loves everyone. That's what we were taught.
Mm.
I was raised to believe that no matter what you look like, what your skin color was, that he loved everyone. But then the older I got and I was seeing how turned it was. So mostly it was like, yeah, like he loves everyone that's white or straight.
Yeah. Yeah. The same God that created you created him too, by the way. There's so many arguments out there for those people to stop what they're doing because they're just provoking. And there is no messaging. Like, no one's going to see that. I'm like, oh, really?
Right.
Sorry, guys. I got to go. I don't want to go to hell.
People refuse. Yeah.
Yeah, no one's going
to. And these people refuse to, like, understand that, like I was saying earlier, like, majority of these, or actually 100% of these trans people, or any gay person out there like me, we are just trying to be ourselves, and these people that are trying to shove it down our throats are refusing to, like, actually understand that we are just normal people, that we're not, geez, these some weird demonic
you're crazy weirdos. Yeah. Yeah.
That people think we are.
Mm.
Where there's people like me and so many other people, like, they're like me, that are literally, I wake up and go to work every day. I do the same things everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly still, I'm going to rot away in hell.
And you're going to go to hell.
And I don't deserve, yeah.
Oh.
It's just so unfortunate that that's what I feel like religion has turned into.
So we're going to pray for them. We're going to play the God that will send us to hell. We're going to pray for them because it's nuts. To me, it's just crazy that some people believe that they can get to choose who's going to go to hell and who's going to go to heaven just based on certain ideology or religion.
And that's why I turn from the church. Like, I don't have any beliefs anymore because I just feel like the biggest belief I have is being a good and kind person.
Right. Your personality, what should matter. Yes.
And I feel like if you do good, good things come to you. So I feel like just being such a good person and a loving person is what carries you further in life.
Right. Right.
And then there's these people that are in the church and they swear by everything. And they are just some of the most hateful souls you will ever meet.
Yeah, because they don't accept.
Like, I love you.
Yeah.
I love you, but this,
and that. Oh, yeah. I have conditions.
And so that's why I was in church full time until I was about 18. And then I remember there was a sermon one day. I sat after worship. I sat and I said, and straight in my head, I said, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Whatever they're preaching isn't okay. Like, this is not okay. I left.
Yeah.
I went home. My mom's like, is everything okay? I was like, yeah.
Yeah. And you have a direct connection with God. You can pray. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. But now, like, one of the biggest things I take away is that ever since I've been part of the LGBTQ community, I thought church was the one place you would find so much love and acceptance and, like, you can be yourself. Wow. It's the complete opposite now. Now, being in the LGBTQ community, I have never been a part of a community where I felt so much love and acceptance and, like, people loving you who you are, no matter what religion you are, no matter what your sexuality is, no matter if you're white, brown, polka dot. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
These people love you and accept you for who you are because they know you're being yourself.
Yeah. Do you think that part, because now it is a fact that churches are losing a lot of people. A lot of people now are starting actually just deserting their churches. Do you think that the fact that now we live in 2024, being gay is almost like fully normal? Because it is normal where we are here. It's absolutely normal. In certain areas is not fully normal. So getting closer to normalization of it, do you think that it is due to the because every single one of us now knows at least one or two people in our circle that are gay or transgender. Mm-hmm. I think that has part of it. Do you think the same?
I think so too. It definitely is getting more normalized because, like, conversations I have with people, about 99.9% of the people I interact with will tell you, I have a family member that's gay.
Right.
I have a really close friend that's gay.
A daughter.
I have a coworker.
Yeah.
Coworkers, whoever.
Mm.
Everyone now knows someone, I feel like, that might be gay or queer or somewhere in that,
mm-hmm.
where it's slowly getting accepted. And I feel like there's people like my parents, for instance, when I came out to them as trans, I think them understanding me better now has helped them accept me more.
Yeah.
So it's just like these people that understand that they have gay people in their life and are willing to like listen and hear them out, but understanding that like, oh, they're such a normal person. Mm. Like, why should I have anything against them?
It's the same
them?
Person. It's the same Sam.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the same Sam they gave birth in the first day.
Exactly.
I think they're even lucky. They had the same person, but they've raised you in a way, and then here you are. You're now flying on your own wings, living the life that actually fits you as a human being.
Yeah.
And accepting you is just the normal thing to do.
And I know earlier I've mentioned that like my parents struggled with me when I originally came out as a lesbian. But now that I've come out as trans, they accept me way better now than the way I was before, because they see me now as being truly my genuine self.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, my parents are still very Christian. They're still very religious and they still have their beliefs, but like they see me now as someone that's being completely normal. I'm being myself. And then they recognize when I'm around them now, I'm not hiding anything.
Yeah.
And when I'm around them, I'm like, I can be myself. So like any conversations that we have, like, are so normal. And then when they see me come around now, having a beard and short hair and a deeper voice, they can tell that it's not some act.
Mm-hmm.
That
it's you.
They felt like they felt was a phase when I was coming out as a lesbian.
Yeah.
Because that's when I was in my early 20s, and I came out to them as trans when I turned 30. And the last 2 years, the last 2.5 years, like, it's been so smooth. Because they're like, clearly this isn't a phase. Like, you're being yourself. You're still the same kid we've known for the last 32 years. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you look different. But, like, and so I wish that was something that was more normalized, is like, especially with parents that raise LGBTQ children.
Mm.
It's been like years that they've come out, and there's still, it's still clearly not a phase or a choice. I wish it was more normalized that like parents and family members were like, you know what? Clearly this isn't a phase, and this is the most you we've ever seen you be.
Yeah.
We love you and accept you for that.
That's true. But how long is this phase going to go for? It's not a phase. It's my life. It's who I am. Yeah.
Even my siblings were like telling my parents, are like, Sam has clearly been like this for a long time. Like, this isn't a phase. Like, if maybe he was younger and like struggling, like, yeah, like give it some time and just see if anything like comes around. But they're like, Sam has been like this for years.
Yeah.
And clearly this is who he really is. And like, this isn't a game. Like, this, I remember the conversation we had. I was like sitting there. I was so silent. And like, I was so emotional. My brother was emotional too, because he kind of was like speaking for me to try and explain it to my parents, the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sit down really made it clear to them, like, this is really who Sam's been all his life. And like, clearly the last 5 years or so has been rough on him because he couldn't be himself. So ever since I was able to like get that cement brick off my shoulders, the last couple years have been so smooth with them. Like, they're calling me, they're still struggling with my pronouns, but like, they call me by Sam all the time. And like, they don't make anything weird. Like, and it got to a point where like, when I was identifying as a woman, I knew there was no chance in hell my parents would ever come to any wedding or the wedding I would have for my future partner.
Yeah.
There was no chance of me bringing a girl home. Nothing.
And accepting that. Yeah.
So they had time to understand that I come out as trans. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I brought Tara around, they were like, Sam is completely happy. And like he identifies as a man. So technically to us, this is like a very normal heterosexual relationship. Because it makes more sense to them to have that instead of me dating a woman
yeah.
as identifying a woman.
As a lesbian. So, it's easier as a trans. Okay. Okay.
So now that Tara's in the picture, like my mom and my dad love her. They want her over all the time. Like we're even.
I'm sure she calls her and they talk to each other. That's amazing. Like,
my parents and her text back and forth all the time.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, I never thought in my life that my partner would be loved and accepted by my parents.
Yeah.
So now they're at a point, they're like, so when are you guys coming to visit?
They can't wait to see you. And
I thought there was a day they never wanted a partner walking through their front door. Like,
and so it's hard for them now to see transgenders or LGBTQ plus community as disgusting. Or as bad people, or as weird, or as crazy. No, they see them now as, they're normal. What's going on with them? What are we talking
and
about?
That's the biggest, and that's the biggest misconception a lot of people have is when a lot of people normally hear someone that's trans or gay or lesbian, you automatically want to think of the worst and most disgusting thing.
Hmm.
Like, ooh, they're not normal, or what is wrong? What's wrong with them?
Yeah.
Did something happen? What made you make this decision? But like now it's people like one of my best friends down south and my parents and family members, like after like them seeing that, like, look, yes, I identify as a trans man, but also like this is normal for me. Like I get up and live my life every day.
Mm-hmm.
I go to work. I come home. I hang out with friends. I hang out with family. It's like a lot of times when people hear that someone is gay, and I know this is very controversial, but like one of the biggest things is when a lot of people hear someone being gay, they automatically want to hear that it's just these gay men in really tight clothes wailing rainbow flags down the street and just.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's more than that. Yeah. They're like that. But like it's so much more than that. So like, when I talk to people, I try to make it be like, hey, you know what? I'm trans. I'm in the LGBTQ community, but guess what? I'm as normal as they come. Like,
life is not just a party. Life is, I have bills. I got to go to work. I have to drive.
There's people out there that are like me that are trans or bi or lesbian that are literally doing the same thing I'm doing every day. Like, you're going to work. You're going
just
to
like everyone.
Literally, that's the biggest thing is we are like everyone else, but people still choose to believe that we're some kind of freak.
It's the belief.
That's their belief.
It's ignorance. They're not like seeking actually knowledge. Yeah. And I always say it. I love to say the worst enemy of learning is knowing. Oh, I know. Oh. I know, trust me, I know. Like, you don't know. If you think that this person is this and that with just building because you believe in it, you really don't know. You just ask questions. Then if you don't like them, you don't like them. But at least you've gained some knowledge. You've learned. Give yourself time, like whoever is listening, give yourself time to learn more about people before judging them.
There was an instance where I had a childhood friend that eventually found out about me coming out as trans and going by a different name than what I was given at birth. And this so person refused to call me by my new name because that's not how they know me. And basically didn't want really anything to do with getting to know me as now, but didn't understand that I'm literally the same person. So you're just being very like close-minded and refusing to, you're deciding to like end a friendship based on the fact that you're so close-minded.
Yeah.
That after all these years, you still choose not to refer to me as what I ask you to refer to me as. And I'm not asking for much. I went from this name to this name. Like,
yeah. Well, the one thing that I will tell you, I can care less about any other name other than Sam. I'm sorry. I only know you as Sam.
Right.
And I will never, ever, ever think that you're not normal. I think you're the most one of the most amazing people I know. You were so special. Like the moment I talked to you, you were very, very special, because you were very open about who you are and you're not hiding it. If you like something, you will say it. If you don't, you will say it as well. And I have never seen anybody as who's willing to educate, not just about the like work or any conversation that you're having with anybody, but you're willing to take that moment and go and take a step back and be like, okay, wait a second, I don't think you understood. This is what's going on, and this is who I am, and those kind of things can actually be not okay. Or
it's all about those patience, too.
Yes. And sometimes when we encounter something that we're unaware of or we've never encountered before, it is absolutely advised to take a step back. It's recommended. Take a step back. Think about it.
Yeah. Because one of the biggest things that I've taken away since coming out, especially as coming out as trans, is that there's so many people out there that still are uneducated about what it's like to be trans or to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And what the biggest thing people do is like, if someone is misgendered or just speaks very low about the LGBT community, a lot of people are prone to jump on it and be like, why would you say that? Like, they're jumping on just wanting to be angry and just not understanding that, you know, a lot of people just don't know. A lot of people are not educated about. So the biggest thing I've taken away, which I think has allowed my friendships and relationships to last, is because I'm willing to be patient, take a step back, understand that I don't think you understand like what's happening, but I'm willing to sit with you and educate you. So I wish that was a bigger thing, is like, if there's anyone in the LGBTQ community that feels like they're struggling to like educate people, the biggest advice is to step back, be patient, and be calm.
Yeah.
Because majority of the time, when you pull that person aside and pull them aside separately, don't ever like feel like you have to have a conversation in a group.
Yeah, don't fight. Yeah.
No, do not fight. If you ever feel like there's someone you want to speak to about it, pull them separately. Have a one-on-one with them. And always remember to be patient and just understand that they don't know.
Yeah.
If it be your pronouns or just something that was said that was like, oh, iffy, like you probably shouldn't have said that. That's a little wrong.
Educating them is even more important. Yeah.
That's why a lot of my family and friends ask to talk with me, and like you as well, because you've seen me in a situation before where I've had to pull someone aside to be like, hey, kind of what you said wasn't cool. I need to kind of explain to you why.
Yeah.
And just please don't do it again.
Yeah. That was the moment for me when I was like, this guy is mature. He is mature about it. He's taking it not as just an insult because I heard it, now I cannot unhear it, but he's taking it as a moment. Okay, let me take a moment here to tell you why it can make people like me react to this.
I was just about to say, it makes people accept you more for who you are.
Absolutely.
Like, they may not be on the same page as you, but if you're willing to chat with them and calmly and patiently have a very educational conversation about what happened. Or I still have people that come up to me just with general questions about, like, how did you know, or what made you decide to do this or that. If your understanding is not coming from a place of just being nosy, a lot of people genuinely are just curious, like with questions, because they want to know, because they know it's a part of your life and they just kind of want to get to know that part of you better.
Right. Right.
So that's why my, like with my parents, for instance, and like siblings, family, friends, they're willing to sit with me and discuss me because they know I'm someone that like will willingly, calmly discuss and educate them.
Mm-hmm.
Then at the end of that conversation, they're like, oh, well, that was actually nice. Like
create that aha moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they're like, a lot of people would have like jumped down my throat and been like, why did you say that? Like, or why did this happen? So yeah, the biggest thing I always tell people is like, just if there's a family member or a friend or a coworker that you feel like is just not getting something that's going on with you, approach them calmly and just patiently.
And don't stand on the other side of the sidewalk with a you're gonna go to hell sign, because it's never gonna work.
Yes.
It's not gonna change anybody's mind. Literally nobody's mind.
Just save your time.
Save humanity by just going to here. Do this. Do a podcast about it. If you really think that, do a podcast about it. Go and just speak your whatever in your mind. You're free to do so. But if you go there, you're provoking those people.
Yeah, there. It's funny enough. There was actually, this is not like queer LGBTQ related, but Tara and I went to our first Cubs game a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah.
And there was a guy standing out there waving a pamphlet just saying, Jesus loves you. But I'm like looking at Tara and I'm like, no one cares.
Yeah.
Literally everyone's here to go see the Cubs play. They're looking forward to grabbing a beer and a hot dog.
That's it. Yeah.
No one is walking to Wrigley and then being like, oh, I'm going to have a quick conversation with this guy.
Like, imagine one day Jesus will be like, dude, can you go and get your beer and hot dog and go and watch that? They know.
Can you
trust
chill out
me
for a second?
Just please. I know they know. They don't have to go through you to know that I exist.
No. Exactly.
Don't worry. I don't need your help. I have enough platforms to reach everyone now. It's 2024, dude.
Right.
Move on.
Get out.
Yeah. Get out of that sidewalk. Sam, I would love to have you now in person, and that's our next one. I have so many questions for you. I can go go like for 16 hours.
I think I will try to come back soon.
Okay.
My little niece Gia, she's 2 and she's getting so big and I like miss her like crazy. So I'm trying to make a point to go back to visit.
Please,
sometime.
Please.
To see all of you, of course.
And you're always welcome to my place, you and Tara. We do have a guest room right here, and
awesome.
We would love
Thank
to have you.
You.
And I, as promised, I told you that I'm going to make Moroccan food.
I'm holding you to that because you've been saying that.
I know for
really
a while. I know.
It.
I'm a mean man. I'm so sorry.
No, as long as you keep your promise. So
I will keep my promise. I promise you. And whenever you're in town, please let me know. Let me know way in advance so we can actually schedule something. And I would love to have you again. And it'll be actually, it'll be like a live one.
We would love that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sam, thank you so much. Do you have any questions? You want to add anything? You want to say hello to anyone?
No, I'm good. I miss you guys so much. It's like I said, it's been really hard, but I truly appreciate you bringing me on. I think it's very hard these days to find someone that's willing to like open up about their journey and like, willing to be kind of an open book. So I really appreciate you.
And I appreciate you for being that.
Me.
Yes. And I appreciate you because I told you, educate me. I want to know. Yeah. Yeah.
And I just want people to know that like, the biggest takeaway is just please know that anyone that might be going through something difficult or that are part of the LGBTQ community, like we're normal people. We just want to be ourselves and
and live.
That's all we want.
You just want to live.
And just to live.
Just
that's
live.
It.
Yeah. You want to do again. You want to have that normal life. Wake up in the morning, go to work, come back, eat, of course, bathroom, showers, do it regular, exactly as I do it, exactly as XYZ does it, anybody on earth does it the same way, or anybody in like that we know does it the same way, whether they're straight, gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever they are, whatever they believe in, Muslim, Jew, Christian, whatever, they all do it the same way.
Exactly.
We're all the same, guys.
All doing the same.
Yes.
Yep.
We're all the same. Thank you again for educating us. Thank you. Thank you for trusting me. And we will be talking very soon. Okay?
That sounds great. Looking forward to it.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.